Presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, that's Hop Harrigan coming in, and this is Glenn Riggs stepping up to tell you a little story. You may have heard it before, but it's worth repeating. It's a story about a man who worked in a light bomber plant, probably where they make B-25s. One night he came home from work and sat down to dinner with his wife and his young son. Yeah, we sure had a tough day, he said. Got a rush order. Had to crate 6 bombers for shipment by 5 o'clock. The boy's ears perked up. Where are they going, Dad? He asked. Dad shook his head. Dunno, son, but the talk around the shop kind of gave me an idea. They were headed for Alaska. We equipped them with de-icers, heating units, and special cold-weather carburetors. Someone said it was a rush order because they're being loaded aboard a boat that sails tonight. Pass bread, son, please. Well, you know how it is when you get together in the schoolyard or at your friend's house and you get to talking. Sometimes you say things you wish you hadn't. And that's what this boy did. He told 4 or 5 fellas about the 6 bombers that were being shipped to Alaska that night. And almost like wildfire, the news began to spread. Soon it was being repeated to big ears that were looking for that kind of information. Somehow, an enemy submarine lurking off the coast got the information. 6 bombers leaving by freighter tonight. Preparations were made to get that freighter, to send it and its precious cargo to the bottom. Well, fortunately, the aircraft worker's information was wrong. The freighter did not sail that night, or the next night, or the night after that. But suppose the information had been correct. Then what? Loss of life, loss of ship, and loss of invaluable war material. Well, there's just one moral to this story, and I'm going to give it to you straight from the shoulder. Keep your mouth shut, or you're liable to put your country's foot in it. Don't talk. Idle rumors cost lives. That's all, except for our daily message that America needs flyers. And now to our story. Having succeeded in destroying an attack fleet of 3 giant plane and troop-carrying Zeppelins, Hop Harrigan and his mechanic pal Tank Tinker parachuted to Earth somewhere in Australia, but not before Tank suffered a bullet wound in the back. Picked up by an American ambulance unit headed by Lieutenant Gail Nolan, a young Army nurse, the boys, after proving their identity, were placed on a hospital train heading back into the interior. Tank's wound was found not to be serious, and with the bullet removed, he was resting comfortably in a berth on the speeding train, with Hop keeping him company and Nurse Nolan attempting to take his temperature, when suddenly the train's air brake screamed and it came to a sudden grinding stop. A moment later, from off in the distance, came the mournful cry of a train whistle, blowing over and over and over again. Certain it was a call for help, Hop responded immediately, with Gail Nolan close behind him. Swinging down the iron steps of the hospital car, he dropped to the gravel roadbed of the adjoining track, only to stare in amazement at the sight that met his eyes. Listen.
Great Scott, look! There's a train stall on the westbound track. It's on fire.
Good heavens.
We better see if we can help. Come on.
I'm with you.
Careful of those ties now. Don't trip on them.
I won't.
Boy, look at that fire. The flames are 50 feet high.
It's a freight train, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I see quite a few soldiers there.
And the engineer of our train's blowing the whistle, isn't he?
No, it's coming from the burning train. That's what I don't understand. There, stopped. You still with me?
Don't worry about me. Just keep going.
That looks like our engineer up ahead. Funny nobody seems to be doing anything about the fire. Everybody's standing far away from it.
So there must be a reason. Ask our engineer.
Okay. Hey, engineer. What's the trouble up there? Why aren't those soldiers trying to put that fire out?
They'd be fools to try, mister. And you and the light here better not get too close either.
Why not?
That's a munitions tribe. Munitions and guns. Any minute she's going to go sky high.
Yeah, but who was blowing that whistle? There must be someone in the cab of the locomotive.
There is. Fireman and engineer. Poor devils must be trapped.
Trapped? What do you mean?
Well, they aren't come out. She's going to bust wide open soon. They must be trapped.
Lieutenant, you stay here. I'm going up ahead and see what I can do.
You're making a mistake, young fella. You can't do nothing. Stay clear of that train.
He's probably right. If the soldiers are helping...
I can't believe those men are trapped. That whistle was blowing up to a moment ago. I'm going to try to get them out.
I'll go with you.
No, you stay there.
I said I'm going with you.
You're both committing suicide.
Look, you're wasting time. The flames have reached the locomotive.
Don't do it, son. Don't do it.
I've got to. I wouldn't rest easy if I didn't try.
Neither would I. Come on.
You better come back. She's going to blow.
We're probably both out of our minds.
Yeah, I know, but it's worth a try.
Hey, you, get back to that train. Get back.
Who's that yelling?
One of the soldiers. An officer.
Get back to that train, I said. It's going to blow up.
Can't hear him. Can't hear a word he said.
You mean you're conveniently deaf?
That's it. Boy, those flames are hot. You better wait here.
Nothing doing. I've gone this far. I'm going all the way.
Got a lot of nerve for a girl.
Save the bouquets. You'll need them if that train does blow up in our faces.
That's a happy thought. All right, slow up now. We're close enough now.
Close enough for what?
Now, look. I'm going to get into the cab of that locomotive. Tie this handkerchief around my mouth, will you? No, forget it. There isn't time. Oh, what in heaven's name is that knapsack you're carrying?
My first aid kit. You never can tell.
Smart girl. Well, here I go.
Wait, I'll stand right under the cab window. If you find anyone in there, lower him down to me.
There's too much fire. You'll be burned.
I told you not to worry about me. Go ahead.
Okay.
Be careful. And hurry.
I will.
We can't possibly lose this war with boys like that fighting for us. Look out. Flames are shifting. Good heavens, they swept right over him. Harrigan. Harrigan, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. Got the engineer.
So lower him down, quickly.
Okay. Here he comes. Come on. He's badly burned.
Easy. Well, all right, I've got him. Anyone else up there?
No, cab's empty.
What about the fireman?
There's no one else up here.
Well, then come on down. Hurry.
Okay. Here I come.
Here, let me carry him. Boy, he's in bad shape, isn't he?
I'm afraid so. He's got a nasty bump in the head.
Well, now I understand why he didn't jump out. He must have been paralyzed, but somehow managed to blow the whistle before he collapsed.
Well, that sounds logical, but we better get away from this train. Our luck won't hold out forever.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I got him. Lead the way.
You know, they should give you every medal in the book for what you've done.
Didn't you say something about bouquets a moment ago?
What was that?
Something blew up.
It's the munitions. The fire's reached them.
Run. Run, the whole train's gonna go next. Run! And that's about all there was to it, Tank. I climbed into the cab of the locomotive, found the engineer draped over the throttle, and handed him down to Gale.
Oh, so it's Gale already.
Well, after all, she called me Hop, so I called her Gale.
Ain't that sweet and lovey-dovey?
Don't be a goon, Tank.
Hop, if you're falling for that female, Louis...
Tinker, if you weren't flat on your back, I'd poke you in the nose.
You and how many Marines?
Oh, you don't think I could do it, huh? Okay, just wait until you rub on your feet. I'll give you a lesson or two in the manly art of self-defense.
Oh, boy, am I laughing. Hey, what are we waiting here for, anyway? Why don't this hospital train get moving? We've been sitting here for an hour.
Well, they're investigating the fires on that munitions train. Tank, there's something suspicious about them. They started in every second car, all at the same time.
Hey, here comes your sweetie pie nurse. She's got a captain with her. That cuts you out. You got a salute.
Shut up.
That is?
Hop, this is Captain Royce. Captain, Hop Harrigan.
Oh, glad to know you, Harrigan. And congratulations on your rescue.
Thank you, sir.
And the scowling lump of humanity stretched out in the berth, sir, is Hop's mechanic, Tank Tinker.
Hello, Tinker.
Hello, sir.
Not badly wounded, I hope?
No, just a little bullet hole. But he's tough. He'll be up on his feet in a few days.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Hop, Captain Royce was in charge of that munitions and supply train. He'd like to talk with you about the fire.
Yes, Harrigan. As you probably know, we're a little puzzled about it. It doesn't quite make sense.
Well, I'm more than just a little puzzled, sir. As I understand it, fires broke out in 8 cars simultaneously. Is that right?
Correct. In every other car.
Were all the cars guarded?
No, and that's one of the strange things about it. I had 2 men stationed in 8 of the 16 cars. And those were the 8 cars that caught fire.
Well, you questioned the men, I presume.
Thoroughly. And they all report the same thing. Suddenly, something in the cars leaped into flame.
Without any warning, sir?
Completely without warning. And in all 8 cars.
When did this happen? I mean, how long after you'd left your embarkation point?
Well, let's see. We pulled out of Grant City at 8 o'clock. The fires broke out at 20 minutes to 9. That's 40 minutes.
No stops between Grand City and this point?
None at all.
Well, could there have been an opportunity for someone to plant time bombs or incendiaries in those 8 cars before the train left Grand City?
Nope. Not a chance in the world. You know how closely guarded Army supply trains are, even in railroad terminals.
Well, then, I don't understand it. Any ideas, Tank?
Nope. Sounds screwy to me.
As I see it, our only hope seems to rest in the engineer. He may be able to give us some information. But from what Lieutenant Nolan here tells me, he's in bad shape.
Really bad?
Yes, 3rd-degree burns. He's on the operating table in the next car, in a coma. We're giving him saline and plasma injections, but it doesn't look too good.
Say, what about the fireman? What happened to him?
Well, that's another strange thing. He disappeared, vanished into thin air. We searched the cab of the locomotive after the train. The fire was out. We couldn't find a trace of it.
Lieutenant Nolan.
Yes, Graves.
The engineer's talking in a delirium. I thought maybe you'd like to know.
Yes, thank you. Shall we go in, Tank?
Yes, yes, certainly. Well,
may I come along?
Yes, of course.
Be right back, Tank.
Okay.
Don't trip over those light wires.
Baskets of fruit. Baskets of fruit. Fire burning.
Well, he seems to be coming out of his coma.
Probably only temporary. Keep the plasma going, Graves.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Well, what's he saying? Can you understand him?
Shh. Baskets of fruit. Fire. Baskets of fruit.
That sounds like fire. Baskets of fruit. Oh.
What can that mean?
Oh, baskets of fruit.
He's unconscious again. I think we've heard all we're going to hear for the present.
Baskets of fruit. I don't understand it.
Neither do I. But I'm willing to bet it means something. Something very important.
Yes, you're quite right, Hop. Baskets of fruit does mean something important. More important than you can possibly guess. It means that the long, deadly hand of sabotage has struck and will probably strike again. But what can you do about it with just one flimsy clue, baskets of fruit? Well, we'll see. Don't miss tomorrow's exciting episode of this new mystery adventure, same time, same station. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Before we call it a day, I'd like to repeat the warning I gave you at the beginning of the program. The warning to be careful about everything you say that may be concerned with our war effort. Oh, I know that none of you would go out of your way to sabotage the American fight for freedom, but so often we say things innocently, things that may cause great damage. The best policy is to keep mum. There are still some Axis sympathizers in this country, despite the fact that the FBI has cleaned out most of them. But it only needs one to start the ball rolling, so don't let that one hear anything that may be useful to him. Keep your eyes open and your mouth shut. If you see anything that looks suspicious, report it to the police. We here on the home front have a battle to fight, too. It's a battle of secrecy, a battle against forces that are trying to bore from within. They live on bits of information, so let's starve them out by keeping mum. And remember, America's future is in the air. And America needs flyers.
CX-4 to control tower. CX-4 to control tower. Standing by.
Control tower to CX-4. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan taking off. See you tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Hop Harrigan is a copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine. Hop Harrigan has come to you from New York. This is the Blue Network.